In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, continuing my talks today about grandmothers. I've had some wonderful letters from grandmothers because I requested them, and so many of you responded that I had a very hard time weeding out the few that I would have time to read on the air. But here's one from Ann Cox. She says, "I've just finished watching your tape on grandmothers. It was excellent and exactly how I see our role. One said to me one day, 'This is my time and I've done my stint and they belong to them and let them take care of them.' I thought and then said, 'What a privilege you miss. The influence of a godly grandmother. What a ministry. I'm so glad I'm young enough to pray for them, have fun with them, and teach them godly principles. My heart skips a beat when I think of the fun I have had when I hear them coming up the driveway, running up the walk and calling, 'Nanny, Nanny,' while I hide and then pop out at them. Then to pray with them as I tuck them in for the night, and then to have them sneak into my bed in the early morning, snuggle under the goose down, and quietly wait till I have finished my devotions. We're making memories. Why, we even dig sled runs over our hill and make jumps off the end of the slope. I admit I'm looking for the Motrin, but I wouldn't miss it till I have to. It's easy to write about grandchildren, but what I intended to say was, keep saying the things that you say. And I wish you wouldn't read the negative things people say. I know you're trying to give a full account of others' opinions, but my, have they missed the point. I think what you say is right on. I get accused of not having the gift of mercy, too. And maybe I don't, but God's word is so clear on principles and right living. So much of life is spent dealing with consequences of wrong choices. But the marvelous things that we learn if we listen and learn. How are saints made? Not in houses of warmth and comfort and upon beds of ease and pleasure, but when pained, pressed down, and crying upon our knees. Then and then only does he extract the essence of our pain and use it for his glory. It takes a thorn to pin aside the veil that hides his face. Nothing is wasted. Never give in or give up. I'm glad you strive to be a woman of honor, a standard bearer, as I tell my granddaughters. Hold the banner high. Thank you. As I watched your tape, I suspect it was filmed there around Magnolia. We were just there a few weeks ago, all along the coast, drove down Hesperus Road and viewed the castle. It's so beautiful there. We always take the coastal route from Boston to Bar Harbor, stopping to look and lunch and browse. It's glorious, and such a time for husband and wife, I feel young again. And I'm so grateful for the years that we have had and am thankful for every day. Well, Ann Cox, next time you come through Magnolia, at least give me a phone call. Now here's one from Kathy Fry, or Frey, I don't know how she pronounces it. "Dear Elizabeth, I listened to Gateway to Joy this evening, a part of your series on grandmothers. When you asked the listeners to write and share ways that our grandmothers have influenced our lives, I thought I would jump on the chance to talk about my grandmas. Grandma Fry passed away 6 years ago this month, but some days it seems like yesterday because the memories are so vivid. I remember her rocking me and reading book after book after book to me and my brothers and sisters. When I was young, Saturday night was bath night. It was in my life, too. In the summertime, we would take our pillows out on the porch after we had taken our baths. I would spread my long, wet hair over the pillow to let it dry. We would look up at the stars, read, and fall asleep right there. I remember her long nails clicking on the table as she kneaded bread. I remember laughing with her until my sides ached. I remember how she so patiently taught me how to crochet, sew, and quilt. Grandma taught me about respect. I don't remember one lesson on the topic, but it was something that was taught through her life. I grieve as I think of all my generation is missing out on by not being able to spend extended time with their grandparents, whether because of broken families, distance, or whatever. What a privilege and honor it was for me to spend the first 19 years of my life with Grandma. Now for my mom's mom. Grandma Splitter is my only living grandparent now. Grandpa just passed away in March, and I feel like our hearts have become even more closely knit since then. Grandma is my most faithful letter writer, no matter where I am. There's a long spiritual heritage on this side of my family. I can't think of one single person who has influenced my life more than my Grandma Splitter, both directly through interacting with me and indirectly through the lives of my grandma, my parents, and numerous aunts, uncles, and cousins. I remember spending nights with Grandma and Grandpa, and during their evening devotionals, they would pray through their entire family. That's not so much until you know that they have, are you ready for this? 7 children, 25 grandchildren, and 50 great-grandchildren. Well, you count that up. 75 plus 7. That's a long prayer list. She says, I know firsthand that my grandma continues to do this, and this is coveted by me because I am in full-time ministry and know that much of the fruit is a result of her praying. I can't imagine what my life will be like without grandparents, but I'm praying that if the Lord chooses to bless me with a family someday, I will be able to instill in them the values and the faith that have been instilled in me through my grandparents. A letter from Mildred Scott in Missouri. Dear Elizabeth, in response to your request for grandmothers to tell you what they do for their grandchildren, I'm writing this letter. The following is a list of things I have done or am doing for my 12-year-old granddaughter and my 14-year-old grandson. Number one, and this certainly should be number one, I think, on all of our agendas, pray for them daily. And if you have so many grandchildren that you can't remember all their names, make a list. I have to use lists for prayer every single day. Lists not for my grandchildren, because I just have 8 of those and I can remember their names, but I have lists of other family members that I might forget if I didn't have them written down, and lots of other lists as well. So Mildred says, number two, give them advice as the occasion calls for it. And we have to be very careful about that, don't we? This is Elizabeth talking now. I just happen to be the kind of person that wants to dish out advice to everybody. And mighty few folks want unsolicited advice. So be very careful and, again, prayerful as you give your grandchildren advice. If they're staying in your home, you have a wonderful opportunity to demonstrate to them what a Christian home looks like and how people behave in a Christian home. Mildred says, number three, encourage them in the use of their talents, in their schoolwork, and in spiritual things. Surely grandparents have the opportunity to encourage their grandchildren. The last thing we need to do is to discourage them. Number four, this may be possible for some of you, transport them in my car when their parents are not able to and when I am available. Number five, I bought both of them a chastity ring after they had expressed their desire to have one. I made sure that they both understood what they were promising by wearing these rings. Also, I solicited and received a promise from both of them that they would continue to wear these rings until they get married, even if their friends make fun of them for wearing them. I'm so glad to hear about those chastity rings. I'm very thankful for the fact that it does appear to me that there is a real sort of a groundswell of desire for sexual purity. I think there's a generation of young people out there that are beginning to realize how deeply They have been confused by the behavior of their parents and perhaps even of their grandparents. There are several generations now since the things that happened in the 1960s when virtually everything that really mattered seemed to be swept off the board. Well, forgive my perorations. I'm still reading Mildred Scott's letter. But I'm glad to know about those chastity rings, just one more little way of encouraging young people to wait for the right person at the right time. And that has got to be your marriage partner. There is no place in Scripture whatsoever for any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage. And Mildred says, I realize that their wearing of these rings does not guarantee that they will keep these promises, but I firmly believe that it will act as a deterrent when they are tempted to commit any immoral act. I am already seeing answers to my prayers for them. And once again, I'll give you her list of the things that she is doing for her 12 and 14-year-old grandchildren. Number one, pray for them daily. Number two, give them advice as the occasion calls for it. And that might mean helping to correct their table manners, perhaps. Number three, encourage them in the use of their talents in their schoolwork and in spiritual things. Number four, transport them in your car when the parents are not able to, if you're available. And number five, buy them chastity rings. As for encouraging them in spiritual things, may I strongly urge that you give them books which will be helpful. And of course, Christian bookstores are loaded with books. But there are some very good ones out for both young men and young women, for children of every age. May God make us faithful grandparents, realizing our heavy responsibility before God to steer them every way we possibly can toward heaven.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.